All right. Thank you very much, Marie and the media team. I'm not the lead pastor, and I don't have any more additional announcements. So we are going to get into the Word of God for this morning immediately. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Would you open your Bible with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? This is a very well-known verse, and I'm going to quickly read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." We're also going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, 22 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 to 24. I'm reading in the New International Version, NIV. This is what it says. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 to 24. "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And finally, we are going to read Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 2. And then we are also going to read 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2, and then 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly thing." 9. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege of listening to your word again this morning. We pray that this moment may be blessed by you. We pray that, Lord, you may speak to our heart. We pray that, Lord, you may again enlighten our mind so that we may be receptive to this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning again. It is always a joy for me to be standing before you in order to share God's word. And the theme for our sermon this morning is awareness of our new identity as a first step towards life change. Awareness of our new identity as a first step towards life change. It's really a follow-up to the sermon of last Sunday, where we were talking about how trust in God shapes our character. And it doesn't only shape our character, but we also have a new identity in Christ. Amen? So one of the most influential books, one of the most influential self-help books on the subject of life change was released in 2018. It went on to become a bestseller, selling over 20 million copies, and it even became a reference on the topic. It's not a piece of Christian literature, but the claims of the author in that book resonated with so many people, Christians and non-Christian alike. And the book is titled Atomic Habits. I don't know if some of you have read it, but it's called Atomic Habits. And it was written by a guy called James Clear. And the tagline of that book is an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones. And one particular section of that book caught my attention because of its claims. Because in that section, the author of the book gives a graphic, we're going to put it on the screen, where of what he calls the three layers of behavior change. The three layers of behavior change. So the author says that the first layer of behavior change has something to do with the outcome. He says that people, when they want to change their behavior, when they want to change their life, their habits, they think about the outcome. They think about what they want to become. They think about the result. What would they want to see in their life? For example, people set goals like, by the end of this year, I want to have a net worth of $10,000, for example. Or I want to lose 5 kg. or I want to be free from debt, or I want to be free from alcohol, from drugs, etc. Okay, those are outcomes. The second layer has something to do with processes, or what we do, to get those outcomes or to achieve those goals. For example, one of the processes that we can put in place to achieve that goal of having 10,000 by the end of the year will be saving $100 per month, for example, okay? Or stop going out with a certain group of people if we want to stop drinking, right? And the third layer, according to that author, and that's the deepest one, has something to do with identity. It has something to do with identity. It's about changing our belief. It's about changing our worldview. It's about changing our self-image, our judgment about ourselves. And to this point, I agreed with the author because he gave an example. He said, you know, there are two types of people. One person who is trying to quit drinking or smoking, and when they are handed a drink or a cigarette, they will say, no, I'm trying to quit. That's a response that that person gives. But in that response, we feel that this person still considers themselves as a smoker or a drunker, right? Trying to quit. But a second person, when handed to a smoke, a cigarette, or a drink, will say, well, I don't smoke. I don't drink. That's a person who has changed their identity. They no longer consider themselves as a smoker or a drinker. So I agreed with the author up to this point, because the Christian worldview makes similar claims, because in the Christian worldview, a change of identity always precedes a change of activity. Always. Identity is who we are, and how we live confirm or disprove our identity. Identity is who we are and how we live, or how we live confirm or disprove our identity. And so the title of this message, again, I said, is awareness of our new identity as a first step toward life change. When we know who we are, we live how we should, okay? How we ought to live. And the first verse that we read, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here, means that to be a follower of Christ is to be a new creation, is to have a new identity. When Jesus comes into our life, he did not come to make a few changes. This same passage in the French version, he says that everything has become new. That's what the French translation says. It means that Jesus did not come just to make a few changes here and there, to just make a few changes about how you handle your money. He came to turn everything upside down. You are a new creation. Because some people think that the only thing that becomes new in their Christian walk is their schedule on Sunday. That's how some people think, right? Because I've become a Christian, the only thing that becomes new is what you do on Sunday morning. You go to church, you sing these beautiful songs. But that's not what this passage means. This passage means that everything about you must change. Everything about you must change. The passage is very clear. Put off your old self, or the old has gone. He came to transform everything, not just the way you speak, but also the way you think, not just the way you carry yourself, but also how you treat others. He came to turn everything upside down. Amen? Amen. So for the sake of time, let us quickly jump to four things that awareness of our new identity in Christ help us know if we want to live in the fullness of the abundant life that we find in Christ. The first thing is that awareness of our new identity help us discover our position. To a new identity is attached a new position. Let me read the word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, that's what we said. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sight on the realities of heaven. I'm reading in the New Translation. Where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. It's not only Christ who is seated there. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. So to our new identity is attached a new position. To my fellow, you know, IT people, spiritually, we are in the cloud. Understand? Spiritually. Some of you will get that next Sunday. Anyways, so to our new identity is attached a new position. We have changed a new position. And I couldn't think of a better analogy to explain this as the one of moving from one place to another. You know, when we got married, we were staying somewhere in the northern part of the town in a neighborhood called Mabanga. Some of you may not know it. But after 2 years of marriage, we moved. We moved to Himbi. So when we moved to Himbi, it changed the way we access to every other place in town. Because when we were in Mabanga, we used to use this road called Delam to come from home to church. But since we moved to Himbi, we no longer use that road. We changed our position, and so our way of accessing every other place in town has also changed. And that's the same with the Christian walk. From the moment we change our position, from the moment we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, it changes the way we process everything. It changes the way we think about money. It changes the way we will think about others. It changes the way we'll think about success. Because we have changed our position. We have changed our position. And so, since we have changed our position, we also have a new mindset. Because Jesus moved us. We were promoted from worldly ways of thinking to a heavenly mindset. And so it's going to change how you're going to think about how do I make additional money. Because there are some people, when they want to make additional money from their salary, they will think of some schemes. They will overprice some things, you know. You know, they will overprice something. But a person who has moved, who has changed their position, they will think differently. They will think as a person who knows that they are created in the image of God, and so they are able to create new sources of revenues. Amen. Are we together so far? Yes. It will also help us know that our worth, our value is not in earthly things. It's not in earthly things. Our value is, first of all, in the fact that we are loved by God. And because that God loved us, he sent his only begotten son to die for us and to raise us up from the dead. Amen? So our worth and value cannot and can never be found in worldly things. Never. It cannot be found in your job. It cannot be found in your title. My titles can be taken away, but I will still be a person of value. I will still be worth before the eyes of God. I am more than what I do. That's why I don't let it define me. Amen? Amen. Yeah. It will also change the way you judge others. You will not judge others based on worldly standards, because you will see them as people of infinite value, because they are made in the image of God, just like you. It will also redefine the way we see success. We will no longer pursue success with worldly standard. It will also change the way we handle money. We will not see ourselves as owner, but we will see ourselves as faithful stewards of the graces and favors that God has bestowed on our lives. That's how people who have moved change their mindset. Amen? They change their mindset. It will also change the way we lead. Because in the world, the definition of leadership is about dictatorship, about exploitation. But Christ-centered leaders know that the greatest among us is the servant of all. He's a servant of all. Because our master himself, he said, he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. So people who have moved change completely their way of thinking. The second thing, The second thing that our new identity in Christ does, the awareness of our new identity in Christ does, is that it helps us redefine our priorities. It helps us redefine our priorities. Now, since I became a husband and a father, for those who don't know, it just hit me. It just hit me that my wife and my daughter only have me. You know, the company I work with will replace me in a matter of day if anything unfortunate happened to me, right? They will find someone else. They will find another engineer. They will find another administrator, something like that. You know, they will find someone very quickly. But for my wife and my daughter, it's going to be a very difficult thing because I'm the only husband to my wife and I'm the only father to my daughter. So awareness of that identity changed my priority. That's why I don't play with the time that I need to give them. That's why when I'm with my daughter, even if I'm busy and she wants me to hold her in my hand, I will leave everything because I know that this little girl, she only has me. So awareness of my new identity as a husband and a father changes my priorities. And so it is with us in our Christian life. Awareness of our new identity in Christ will help us redefine our priorities. We will seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. We will know that Christ, us plus Christ, is everything. And so when we get money and everything good in life, those are just bonuses. But we are whole when we are in Christ. We will seek to glorify God first in all that we do. Why? Because it has changed our priorities. We will make time for God in our calendars and our schedule. Because of what? Of our new identity. It will change our priorities. We will walk as disciple makers no matter what our profession is. Because our master said, go and make disciples of all people. Amen. Make disciples. It will change our priority. We will make time to grow in our relationship with God through prayer and the meditation of his word. That's what Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 2 says. Let me read it again. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 2. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sight. In the French version, they say, seek first the things above. Set your sight on the reality of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. It's about priorities because we still live on earth. And so we have to think about the things of earth as well sometimes. But God is telling us, think first about the things of heaven, and all these other things will fall into place. Amen. Will be given unto you. Will be given unto you. And the third thing that awareness of our new identity in Christ makes us do is that it makes us change our practices. It makes us change our practices. Let's go back to that passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 and 24. There is a parallel between what is said in Ephesians chapter 22 and 24 and what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, 9 to 10. This is what he says. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desire, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on, it's like putting on new clothes, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's read also Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 to 10 again. It says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. You have taken off those old clothes with their practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You know, when you put on new clothes, or when you are dressed in your Sunday best, your designer shoes, you know, that clothes, you know, that special clothes. When we were kids, we used to have, you know, those clothes of Sunday. You know, we used to have our Sunday best. Those ones were reserved only for Sunday. You could never touch them during the week. You only pull them out of your drawer or whatever when it's Sunday. And so when you put them on, it changes the way you do everything. It changes the way you walk. You know, some people become more confident when they are dressed up. You will see them now walking, you know, with their head looking forward because they have dressed up. We will walk different. We will even be ashamed to take a biker. You know, when you are in a suit, very beautiful suit, some very good designer shoes, you are sometimes ashamed even to go on a motorbike. You don't even want to go in the bus with other people. Why? Because you have put on a new clothes. We are even careful to not walk on dusty or muddy roads. You avoid mud or dust like hell. Why? Because you have put on new clothes. And we don't want to walk long distances. Why? Because we don't want to sweat. We don't want that sweat to come on our shirt and everything else. We are even careful about where we sit. You know, you will see some people pulling out a handkerchief from their pocket and put it on the seat. And then they will sit. Why? Because they have put on new clothes. Some people even change their language. You know, normally when they are when they are clothed in a certain way, they will speak to you in Kiswahili with no problem. But from the moment they dress up, it will be English, French, you know. Why? Because when you put on new clothes, it changes your practices. And that's the point that Paul is trying to make here. He's saying that since you have put on a new self, it's going to change your practices. It's going to change the way you walk. It's going to change the way you speak. It's going to change the way you carry yourself. Amen? It's going to change the way you carry yourself. And it's also a matter of maturity. It's a matter of maturity. Because only children don't make the difference when they are dressed up or not. Because no matter how dressed up they are, they will always play in mud. They will always play in dirt. I look at it from my daughter. No matter how beautifully dressed she is, if she finds a way of playing in dirt, she will do it. If she feels like playing in mud, she will do it. Because it's a matter of maturity. Because when we have grown in our new identity in Christ, we will not carry ourselves as children. Amen. We will not carry ourselves as children. So in conclusion, I have two calls. The first call is for those who are aware of their identity in Christ. They have been living this life for a while. Let me tell you that the journey is not over. The passage that you have just read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, we are being renewed in knowledge, in the image of our Creator. We are being renewed. So we are called to keep growing in this identity. We are called to keep growing until He comes back. We are called to keep growing. And for those who maybe, after everything I have said, have realized that this doesn't apply to them, it doesn't apply to them, let me tell you that there is hope. I remember, you know, sometimes when you are in ministry, there are some counseling sessions that just stay in your mind. I'm going to share this one because this is a person that you will not know. And again, I was in a foreign country, okay? So we were at church that day and a 45-year-old man came to us after service. And then he came and told us, you know, guys, I've been coming to this church and this is my story. I'm 45 years old. I'm not married. Right now, I'm unemployed. And all of this is because I'm an alcoholic since the age of 18. He came from a wealthy family, actually. This family made their best to educate him, but his struggle with alcohol could not help him progress. He told us that, you know, they even placed me, they even created opportunities for me to work, but I threw all that off. Why? Because of alcohol, because of my struggle with alcohol. I couldn't leave it. I don't know how to stop. I didn't know how to stop. They even sent me, you know, in those group, you know, therapy group. But even that didn't change me. And so we prayed with this brother. And over the days, we asked him to plug into the church. And the more he plugged into the church, the more he started being accustomed to this community of faith. He started identifying himself with this community of faith. He started leaving alcohol. He started leaving alcohol because he found himself in an environment of people who encouraged him to do better, to change his way of life. And that also became his identity. He identified himself with this community of faith. And slowly by slowly, he started becoming free of alcohol. This is the hope for those who don't have that identity. Because the good news of the gospel is that none of us worked for this identity. It was given to us. It was given to us by grace. It was given to us by grace because the simple condition is to believe in Jesus Christ and the power of the cross. The Bible says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is my message to that person who wants to get this identity. May God bless his word.